If you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Here, but I could talk pretty loud. So before I start the message, I'd like to tell you a little story. There's these two boys named Timothy and Zeke, and they're walking down the road, a dirt road. While they're walking down the dirt road, to the right of them is a fence, and inside the fence is a bull. And little Timothy and Zeke are kind of ornery, so they pick up rocks and start throwing it at the bull. The bull smartly moves away from them, so they climb over the fence. And they start throwing more rocks at the bull, and the bull keeps moving further and further away. Tommy and Zeke ain't thinking about how far away they are from the fence until the bull stomps his legs, snorts, and starts charging. As he's charging, they're running for the fence. And little Timothy says to Zeke, "You need to throw up a prayer." Zeke yells back, "I've never prayed in public." "Well, it's about time you do," Timothy says. So Zeke says, "Well, I'll pray what my daddy prays at the supper table. Lord, for what we're about to receive, let me give thanks." Okay? And folks, that's what this message is about tonight. Being thankful. Being thankful. Now, I'm going to let you decide their fate, you as individuals, because you're all different, okay? Being thankful. I want you to look at a couple verses with me here, if you would. In chapter 16 here, in verse 4 of 1 Chronicles. "And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record," and listen, "and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel." Look at verse 7, 8, and 9, please. "Then on that day, David delivered first the psalm to thank the Lord unto the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks," it says in verse 8, "to the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." Verse 9, "Sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works." If you look over in verse 34, please, we're going to look at 34, 35, and 36. I'm sorry, yes, that's correct. "Oh, give thanks," it says in 34, "unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O Lord, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise." Number 36, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said amen and praise the Lord. And then one more verse, verse 41, please. And with them Haman and Jeduthun and the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by name to give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever and ever. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to talk about being thankful tonight. And Lord, you put that on my heart. Lord, we want to praise you and thank you. We need to be thankful for each other. We need to be thankful people in general, Lord. Help us to see that tonight. Lord, we'll be better Christians for you if we'll do it. If we'll just take our things that are on our mind and start thinking about what you want, dear Heavenly Father, we will be more gracious about the things that people do. And Lord, we'll give more praise to you, and we'll thank you even more. So Lord, be with me. Give me clarity of thought as I preach. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. D.L. Moody said this. He said, "Be careful in nothing, prayerful in everything, and thankful for anything." That means good or bad, folks. I want to give you an example of what I mean. There's a Bible scholar of old. His name was Matthew Henry. I love his commentaries. I like to read them every once in a while. Matthew Henry was robbed once of his purse. Now, it's not like a purse the ladies has. I think it was like a leather bag, maybe, or a strap. It could go over a saddle horn if you're riding a horse or something like this. But he was robbed. They took it. And Matthew Henry kept a diary during his life. And when he died and someone got a hold of the diary, he wrote about his experience of being robbed. When he was robbed, this is what he said about being stuck up and robbed. He said, "First of all, I'm thankful, he said, "that I had never been robbed before." He said, "I'm thankful that they didn't take my life. I'm thankful they took everything I had, but it wasn't very much." And he went on to say, "I'm thankful that I was robbed, but not doing the robbing." And I thought about that. You know what we do sometimes? We pray and we pray and pray for things. And then when something good happens to us, we want to thank the Lord. We give him a praise and it stops there and we move on. We want everything from God. We want him to do this. We pray for this person. We want this. We want that. But we hardly ever praise him. We hardly ever praise him. We don't stop and look like Matthew Henry did on this experience and found four or five ways to thank the Lord. We need to be more thankful for what God really does in our life. Psalms 92:1. It's a good thing to thank the Lord. Regardless of our situations in life, whether they're good or whether they're bad, it is good to thank the Lord. However, unfortunately, only thankful people seem to understand this. It has been said that a thankful heart is the greatest virtue, but also the parent of all other virtues. Stress researcher Hans Seel. Now, I got to stop there just for a minute. That word Hans. All my life, when I've seen the word Hans, it's always been related to a nuclear scientist or some physician or a psychiatrist or anything like this. I just want to say this. If you ever want your kids to grow up and be smart for sure, name them Hans. I don't recommend that, but name them Hans. When Hans Seel said this, that two attitudes more than any influence the quality of everyday life. The most destructive emotion in our attitude, if you will, is revenge. The one that goes completely opposite of that is people that are grateful and thankful. He goes on to say that being thankful brings with it peace of mind, security, fulfillment, and the ability to be very successful. When I get along with the Lord, and I have my prayer times, and I can say this from experience, from decades of serving the Lord, if you will. When I get alone with the Lord, and all I want to do is just get down on my knees and just thank him and start talking about how wonderful he is and how holy he is and things of that nature, and then also talk about I'm thankful for the wife you've given me, the kids that I have, the grandkids, and thankful for my church and my pastor and my friends, and you sit there for 20, 30 minutes thanking the Lord for all these things. When I get up, I feel closer to the Lord than any other time in my spiritual life, because I'm not asking him for anything. I don't want anything. I just want to sit down and praise his name and thank him. We need to do that in our lives, I believe, a lot more. Some of you might do it a lot. Praise the Lord for you. Praise the Lord for you, but it's something that we need to challenge ourselves with. Psalms 30:12, O Lord my God, I will thank thee forever. Now I have 5 points. It's not going to take long and you'll get to go eat, okay? 5 points. One might take a little longer than the rest, but I've just got 5 points about being thankful. When it comes to being thankful, Christ sets the greatest example. If you would, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Now remember, I got a preacher's heart. I don't have the evangelist heart. I wish I could be like McCracken and come up with something. I like it when he says something funny. He starts going like this. But I don't have anything like that to do. I get tickled by that. I remember that from years and years ago when he preached. Matthew 11, verse 25. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Now, if you would, turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 11. In verse 11, it says, And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that sat down. Now, flip over to chapter 11, if you would, in the same book, verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. 3 times here, Jesus was saying thanks to his Father because he thanked him for the people that had received him as Savior. He thanked him for the food that they were about to eat. and he thanked him because he answered his prayer when the dead man was made alive again. The Lord Jesus has showed us throughout the scripture that it is wise to be thankful to the Heavenly Father, that it's the right thing to do. There was a man in Gary, stole my thunder 2 weeks ago. He started telling this story, but I already had it on my mind that I was going to use it because it's beneficial. There was a man walking through deep snow, and his little kid was behind him. And as he was walking, he decided to look back to see if his little son was all right. And all he could see was one set of footprints. The little boy had hopped from one footprint to the other. And all the father could do was smile. I see two things here. The son wanted to be just like his daddy. The other thing I think I see is he figured it out. It was easier to follow in his dad's footsteps than it was to try to create his own. And that's the great example for us, that we should follow in the footsteps of Jesus. I think he would follow and smile in heaven if we would try to mimic him as much as we possibly could with our lives. If Jesus was thankful, we need to be thankful. Number two, when it comes to being thankful, the heavenly host is a good example. Revelations 4:9 says, "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever." If you would, turn to Revelations chapter 7. Revelations chapter 7. Verses 11 and 12. It says, "And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders, and the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessed and glory and wisdom and what? Thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." If these created beings on the throne thank God, shouldn't we who are blood-bought praise the Lord as well? It just seems so. After all, they marvel at our salvation. They marvel at it. It seems to me in these verses, seven things are ascribed to. First, blessings and glory, but the one thing worth talking about, thanksgiving and wisdom and honor and power and might. The Lord deserves to be thanked. I surmise that the highest kind of praise is to be ascribed to God. Everything excellent in character is to be attributed to him. I had a friend named David Klein. When I went to college, I met David. David had a basketball scholarship along with me, and another David had one. They could only give out three back in those days. And so we were there, and two of us were there. Me and David were there to play baseball and basketball for the school. Me and David hit it off because I like to clown around. I like to tell jokes. I like to tease. I like to do a lot of things. Even today, in my old age, I still like to do those things. Me and David hit it off. And I'm going to kind of give you an idea how we hit it off. We were down at playing Eastern Kentucky University, and we were in the restaurant eating, and they had a big partition that went around the restaurant, if you could imagine that a little bit, and everybody ate out in the middle. Well, me and David carried these masks with us all the time. I had Curly from the Three Stooges. He had Sylvester Stallone from the Rocky movie. The first Rocky movie had come out. And we did all kinds of things with it. I can't get into that because I don't have that much time. But in this case, here we were walking in. Everybody was looking at the basketball team because here's all these 6'4 guys all the way up to 6'10. And everybody was staring, and then everybody kind of went back to eating. So me and David said, "Let's do it. Let's do it." So we reached down behind the partition. We put our masks on, and we just stood there like we do. And we just stared at everybody. All of a sudden, a couple people looked up and started pointing. And next thing you know, the whole place, the restaurant, was cracking up laughing. While they were laughing, I felt some pressure on my chest. I lifted up my mask, and it was the coach. I said, "Take them masks off right now." So, "Yes, sir." And we started to walk away, and he turned around and says, "Wills, I was going to start you tonight. Forget it. You sit the bench." I said, "Oh, David was going. Man, Wills, I'm so sorry." But I said, "No, man, it's worth it. We got those kind of laughs. I'll give it up and play ball." You know, me and David were good friends. One day, we were going to Richwood, Ohio. I have a cousin in Richwood, Ohio. Same name as me, Jeff Wills. And family reunions, we always see each other. So I told him about that. He says, "You know what? I know your cousin. I didn't even put two and two together. I hung out with your cousin. I said, you got to be kidding me. This is a small world. He says, I says, is that who we're going up to see? He says, no, you're going up to see my best friend. I said, David, I thought I was your best friend. He says, no, you can never be my best friend. He will always be my best friend. I said, David, that hurts. I was kind of teasing him a little bit. He says, well, it's just going to have to hurt. So we got up there. We got to the apartment. We walked in. This average guy, but he was pretty good built, about this tall. We sit down. We talk for a while. And then David says to him out of the blue, take your shirt off. He says, David, no, don't do that. You do that to every single person you bring over here. Take your shirt off. He took his shirt off, and he had a scar in his hand and through his arm and all the way down to his chest, down to his belt. Might have went further. I don't know, but that's all I saw. He said, Jeff, David looked at me and said, Jeff, I'm going to tell you a story. That man, after I played a basketball game, the best basketball game I ever played, he was Division II. We had Division I, Division II, Division III. I played Division III ball. He played Division II. They beat one of the highest-ranking teams in the state, upset him, and he had one of the best games, which kind of led to him getting a scholarship probably too. David, as they do, as we did back then, all the players took showers. This was an away game. When everything got cleaned up, the parents and some of the fans are waiting outside by the bus, and everybody walks out. We did this too. You walk out to your bus, and you give five to everybody if you won and things. And David was getting ready to get on the bus, and all of a sudden, somebody was hiding behind the cars, came running out with a knife in his hand, and was going to stab David right in the back. And that young man that I was visiting reached up, I guess, with his left hand to grab his wrist. But that guy was so strong, he just cut him all the way down here, and then he fled. And David said, we called him, had somebody go get 911, because we didn't have cell phones. Went and got 911. Everybody was around, was trying to put pressure on all those wounds all the way up and down. He was just bleeding everywhere. Well, of course, he left. He left. I can understand why that would be David's best friend. I can understand that. I can also... It reminds me of a verse, John 15:13, greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. Here was a sinner risking his life for another sinner. But we have the holy God coming down from above and dying on a cross for us, giving us eternal life, giving us heaven, and we're sometimes ashamed of him. We're ashamed to call him our friend and our king and our Lord. We've got to be a thankful people when it comes to our salvation. If we'll become a thankful people about our salvation, we won't be afraid to talk to anybody about the Lord. David wasn't ashamed of this young man. We shouldn't be ashamed about the Lord. Because you know what? Both of them are still going to die, but I've got victory in Jesus Christ. You've got victory in Jesus Christ. We're going to heaven, and we should be a thankful people for that. Still an amazing story. Number three, when it comes to being thankful, we are commanded to give thanks. Psalms 50:14 says, offer unto God thanksgiving. Pay thy vows unto the Most High. Take time out of your life, please, to thank the Most High. I believe without a doubt God is pleased with the spiritual sacrifice of thanksgiving. For the sake of time, I'm just going to read this verse to you. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful in nothing, but in everything. And that word there, if you study it out, means good or bad. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We need to thank the Lord for good and for the bad. We really do. Psalms 105:1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. I see a triad of spiritual orders in that verse. To give thanks, to pray, and to witness. And God still expects that out of each and every one of us. It's a good thing to thank the Lord. Psalms 107:1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I want to read a poem to you if I can. It says, for Christ who came from heaven above, for the cross and his redeeming love, for his mighty power to seek and to save, for his glorious triumph over the grave, for his holy mansions in the sky, for his blessings coming by and by, I give the humble thanks. We are commanded to give thanks unto the Lord, and there is plenty to be thankful for. Point number four, thankfulness should go to Christ. It should go to Christ. 1 Timothy 1:12 says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Now, this was Paul talking about his put in the ministry, but can I say this? Every one of us that are saved here, you have been put in the ministry. You are part of God's church. God operates through the church. This is where he operates. He doesn't operate outside of this church. He operates through here, through these offices that we have, through the through this work. It is not to be really done on the outside. When I was pastoring, I had a guy who wanted to start a ministry in the projects and preach to the kids in the projects. I said, that's fine. You can do it if God's put it on your heart. I says, the church will be behind you. But I told him this. I told him, don't expect the church members to get on board. They may or they may not. This better be about the fact that you want to do this. It's your ministry. If that's what you want, if God's put it on your heart, and he did, and he'd go over there on Saturdays, and he'd preach, and then a few other people in the church got behind him. But see, he had the church's approval. Everything goes through the church. You're representing this church if you're a member of it when you're outside the doors. When we received Christ, we were placed in a unique ministry. By the way, if you had any flattering schemes of ambition or any distinctions of wealth and ease at one time in your life, when you got saved, God should have changed all of that. Should have changed all that. Because now you're in a more noble, honorable, and excellent ministry. I'm not talking about the fact about working and being successful and using your talents and rising up the ladder in a company or anything like that. But you realize that everything that we do when we work is supposed to be done to support us so that we can serve in the church, so that we can support the church, so we can have as many avenues of reaching people to the Lord, and that includes missionaries, as we possibly can. We should be thankful for God putting us in the ministry, the Lord's army, the best team you could be on. There's some young people in here I probably think about the same way I did. When I was in the Air Force, at Saturdays, it was time for me to go get my cardiovascular workout. So I'd run to the gym. It opened at 9 o'clock. We'd rush in, and there's this big wall. And you put your name up there to play basketball. And I'd run in there, and every time I'd go in there, I'd say, Lord, just give me 2 good players out of 4 so I can run for a while. I believe if I get these 2 good players, I can run for a while. Because if you lost, you were going to set out for a while because there's 35 to 60 people going to be on there. You're waiting a lot of games to get to play. So I wanted to be on a good team. But spiritually speaking, I am on the best team I can be with all of you, serving the Lord, praising the Lord. And folks, I'm going to tell you something that will make this church really powerful. If we become thankful people, quit complaining, quit griping, be thankful for every opportunity that you get, for the things that come your way, and be able to thank the Lord even when things don't go as well as you would like them. Thankfulness should go, number 5, through Christ. It should go through Christ. Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all and your faith spoken throughout the whole world. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Hey, whether you go to God with heartache or whether you go to God with a happy heart, thank him. thank him. There's always something to praise and thank the Lord for. I'm emphasizing that because I think it's important. It's important for me to do more of that. I think it's probably, if you self really examine yourself, there's always more room for improvement to thank the Lord. We can thank him for his existence, his faithfulness, his fellowship, his glory, his goodness, his care, his keeping, immutability, knowledge, love, omniscience, omnipresence, power, providence, sovereignty, sufficiency, the Trinity, and you could go on and on. There are things to thank the Lord for and praise the Lord for. Your spiritual relationship with God depends, I believe, on how thankful person you are. Your health in general, your ability to be useful, your ability to encourage other believers, and your ability to be a soul winner. All can be enhanced by just simply being thankful people. Thank you tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We read a lot of verses about thanking you. Lord, we read a lot of commands on thanking you. But Lord, instead of just following the scripture that commands us, let us just do it with a grateful heart. Help us to love you, Lord. Help us to praise you. Help us to lift you up. Help this church be even greater than it can be by being a thankful church. It sure would make it easier on the pastor. It would make it easier on each other if we'd all just be thankful about the things that we have and praise you for everything you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.